Ha'i Perek Daled, Pasuk Ches. Vayimra Gael Abayez, and the Gael, who's playing the Armani, says to Abayez, K'neilach, be kind for you, Vayishlef Na'ala, and he took off his Na'al. There's an interesting targum on this pasuk.
What's a nal? Sandal?
Exactly. What's a nal? It's an interesting. We said the last time, we said a nal is a shoe. We said the nal is a shoe. We spoke about the remez that lies inherently in the removal of a shoe. Vayishef nalo, he took off his shoe. And a shoe is an example of a keli. You could use any keli. But Boaz used the shoe. I mean, the Mefarshim here say, why did Boaz use a shoe over any other keli? Because if you took off your shirt, then you're not covered. The shoe is the garment, the article of clothing that least compromises any standards of modesty.
Or a glove.
Oh, how'd you know that? So in the Targum of this pasuk, says. It wasn't a shoe, it's a glove.
Yo, he's talking.
It's the glove of the right. He had something. It's the glove of the right hand. That's Targum. Why the glove of the right hand? The commentary, Ibn Yichya. Sends us to the Gemara in Shabbos that talks about
where?
Daf Samach Aleph. Send us to the Gemara in Shabbos about things that you're supposed to do with your right hand and not with your left hand. Gemara in Shabbos. Talks about tying your shoes. You put the right shoe on first and then you put the left shoe on. Then you tie the left shoe and you tie the right shoe. You're supposed to show chashivas. That's a gemara. Yeah, of course it's a gemara. That's to show the chashivas of the right over the left. So the shoe that you put the foot that you put the shoe on first should be the right foot. The hand or the glove of the hand that he's making this kinyan with Rus is the glove of the right hand. And there's a much more elevated way of understanding this. Chashivas are right over left. Usually represents the midah of chesed overpowering the midah of gevura. This is an act of chesed, right? This is an act of chesed. Yeah, when you daven, you're supposed to daven with your left hand, your hands over your heart. And the right hand over the left hand. Is that what you meant, Yosef? Yes.
Also,
and you're not supposed to hand your right.
Keep your right over your left, like people sitting and stuff.
This definitely is in the same theme of everything that's going on here. He gives the right glove. So a right glove is also like a shoe. It's a shoe that the hand wears. It's a glove is a shoe that you wear on your hands.
It's even higher level of a body sexual.
The Malbim has a kasha in this pasuk. The Malbim brings a Gemara Kedushin that there's an order that it's incumbent on the relatives to redeem the fields of their unfortunate kinfolk. First you ask the uncle, then you ask the cousin, dodo, ben dodo. And the Gemara says it's only if they're both able to afford it. So first you go to the uncle, he doesn't want to do it, then you go to the cousin. But if the cousin could afford it and the uncle can't afford it, I mean, the first guy in line can't afford it, then you don't go to the next one. You have to first approach the uncle. He doesn't want, you can go to the cousin. But if the uncle can't afford it, so then there's no redemption. It has to be in this order.
If Mongol can't, then you don't go to the cousin?
Nope.
So would you if he just doesn't want
That's
to?
It, you just don't redeem it. The only way to redeem something is to do it exactly the way the Torah
Same
says.
The only way you go to the cousin is if he doesn't want to?
He doesn't want to, right. Doesn't... He hands it over to him, but if he hands it over to him, but if he can't, if it's not possible, so then you don't. And over here, you see that the uncle, playing on money, didn't want to do it. And you're going to the cousin. So the mom explains, how do you go to the cousin when the uncle doesn't want to do it? So that's the explanation of the kinyan that's being made here. A cousin can't do it instead of the uncle. If the uncle's not doing it, the cousin can't do it. But if there's a kinyan between the uncle and the cousin, the kinyan represents that the cousin is redeeming on behalf of the uncle. He's buying the responsibility off the uncle. And he's in place of the uncle. And he's utilizing the power of the uncle in order to do it. That's what a kinyan is. A kinyan is buyers is acknowledging, I can't do it because I'm not an uncle. I'm not next in line. I can't do it. Only you could do it. And that's why I have to buy it off of you. So that's how the mom explains the kinyan. Pasuk Tes. Vayemer Boaz Lazakanan, Boaz said to the elders, V'chol Ha'am, and to the entire nation, Eidim Atem Ayem, you are witnesses today, Ki Kanisi is Kol Asher Elimelech, I purchased everything which was Elimelech's, V'eis Kol Asher L'Kilyain, and everything that was Kilyain's, V'machlein, and Machlein's, Miyad Nami, from the hands of Nami.
He purchased it from the hands of Nami?
Yes, he purchased it from Nami. Nami was about to sell it off, and he gave her money. He said, don't sell it off. And he gave her money, so she didn't have to sell it. And they kept it in the family. Kilyan is mentioned first, and Machlin is mentioned second. Kilyan was younger than Machlin. The Ibn Yechia is of the opinion that Kilyan also gets a portion in Eilam Haba. We're going to see that there's different opinions what happened to Kilyan. If you remember, when we first started the Megillah, we said the name Kilyan means to be consumed. Kilyan means like from Vayichulu. And Machlein is like Mechila. But the Ibn Yechia doesn't learn like that. He learns that Kilyan will also get Eilam Haba along with Machlein, even though he died. But that's an Eilam Haza. He's going to get Eilam Haba. He's going to get eternal reward. And he said that anyone that learns the Sefer and learns of the events could come to a wrong conclusion. You can come to a conclusion that Machlein is the Tzaddik, and he's going to get Eilam Haba, and Kilyan is beyond all hope. Why would someone have that misunderstanding? What would lead them to that conclusion? Number one, it's Machlin's wife that's redeemed. Kilyan's wife went back to her roots and she did what she did. And number two, it's Machlin's name that's going to be proclaimed over the holdings of Machlin. His name will still have an attachment, there'll be a relationship between Machlin's name and that which he left behind. There's a zecher for Machlin in this world, through his wife and through his property. And Kilyan has nothing. And the reason why Malcolm was Tzedekah is because his wife was a Tzedekah. Killian didn't marry a Tzedekah. Malcolm's wife was a Tzedekah. So that's why Malcolm was Tzedekah. Zaktei ben Yichya, that even though Malcolm did have a wife that was a Tzedekah, so he's the one that his wife is going to be redeemed. Killian's wife is not going to be redeemed. And he's going to be the one to have his name on his property. But that doesn't mean Killian's not going to be an Olam Haba. Killian will also be an Olam Haba. And that's the reason why in this pasuk it has Killian's name first. It has his name first in order to give him kavod. That people shouldn't think that he died in disgrace and that he has no hope in Olam Haba. His name is mentioned first out of order in order to show us that he also will get Olam Haba. Pasuk Yud, tell me when you're ready. Vegamis Rusa Me'avia, and also Rus the Moabite from Moab. Ashes Machlon, she's the wife of Machlon. Kanisha Lili Isha, I'm buying her to me for a wife, I'm going to make a kinyan. Lahakim Shem Hames Al Nachlasa, in order that the name of the dead departed Machlon should be firmly established on his inheritance. Balai Karis Shem Hames, and his name should not be cut off. Mi'imechav, from his brethren, and Mishar Mekoma, from the gates of his place. Edom Atamayim, you are Edom today. The Mepharshim ask a question, why is Rus being called Rusa Me'avia? Why at this time is she called being Rusa Me'avia? So there's a commentary by the Sefer Sha'ar Bas Rabim. Sha'ar Bas Rabim says she'd be called Rusa Me'avia because he wants to publicize that she's a Me'avia and he's marrying her, and there's no reason not to, and one shouldn't think that you can't marry a Me'avia. So he's publicizing it. The pasuk calls her Ashes Machlon. Is she Ashes Machlon?
No.
He's dead. The Sefer Isaiah says that she's called Ashes Machlon because she's still Ashes Machlon. The nefesh of Machlon has a relationship with her, and she's still Ashes Machlon.
Is that because the Yibum was done?
That's why Yibum should be done to her.
Oh.
And Ibn Yichya adds to this, the commentator Ibn Yichya, that she'll always be known as Ashes Machlon, even after he marries her, which is tremendous self-sacrifice. Bayez wants to give the credit for the child which will be born to Machlon. He wants the child to be known as the child of who?
Machlon.
Of the wife of Machlon. I mean, it's not the child of Machlon, but the child of the wife of Machlon. And the child should be known that. His name should be the son of the wife of Machlon. And everyone was, you know, he accorded respect to Machlon that he made his wishes be known, that Rus should always be known as the wife of Machlon. This is a tikkun of what Er and Einan did. You know what Er and Einan? Einan particularly. Yehuda had 5 sons. Er, Einan, and Shelah, Peretz, and Zarach. Er married Tamar. Tamar was the daughter of Shem. who was the son of Noah. Er was struck down by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Er angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It fell upon Einan to do Yibum. Einan didn't want to do Yibum. Einan had relations with Tamar in a way that she could not have a child. And Hashem struck him down also. That was his own brother's wife. The Pasuk says, why didn't Er do it? Why didn't he do the mitzvah Yibum? Because he couldn't bring himself to having a child for someone else. That his wife should be his dead brother's wife, even after he marries her. That his child should be connected to his brother, even after he's married. He couldn't bring himself to do it.
Who says that?
Pasuk. The Pasuk of Vayeshev.
He couldn't.
It says, Kilay la yehazar. The Ibn Yechir says that Boaz, who's a descendant of Peretz, another one of Yehuda's sons, was misakin that. That his great uncle, you know, we're going back 11 generations, his great uncle failed to do the mitzvah Yibum, which was incumbent on him, and Boaz went lifnim ishur hadin. He wasn't chayiv to do Yibum to Rus. She's not his brother's wife. According to some versions of Chazal, she might not have even been married. You know, we still never got past that. And he did it, and not only did he do it, but he did it lifnim ishur hadin. She was his wife. But he had her known as Machlan's wife. There's no obligation on him to do that whatsoever. He wanted the child to be known as the son of Machlan's wife. So he bent the page the other way. He went the other, you know, Einan shirked responsibility, and Boaz acted responsible even when he had no responsibility, no obligation to do so. Lakim Shem Ames. His motivation was Lashem Shemayim. It wasn't in order to have relations. It wasn't for Taiva. It was Lakim Shem Ames. And the pasuk ends with Edim Atem Hayim. You are all witnesses to this today. You'll notice in Pasuk Tes it says Edim Atem Hayim. And in our pasuk it also says Edim Atem Hayim. So why is he saying twice in Pasuk Tes and in Pasuk Yud the same thing? You are witnesses today, you are witnesses today. Rav Moshe David Vali says, because he was redeeming two things. He wanted them to bear testimony on his redemption of the fields. And he also wanted them to bear testimony on his redemption of the neshama of Machlein. So it says it twice.
What was it?
There were two redemptions going on here. There was the external redemption of the property of Machlein, and then the internal redemption of the spirit of Machlein. And he wanted testimony on both. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Rabbeisa, Tayyir, Kindelech. Vayyemer kol ha'am asher b'shar, all the nation in the gate said, Vazakenim, and the elders, Edim. Testimony. Edim. Witnesses. We'll be witnesses. It's a short way of saying, okay, we'll be witnesses. Edim. Yitan, then I give you a bracha. Yitan Hashem as a Isha, Hashem should grant this woman, Haba Besach, who's coming into your house, Kiracha L'Chaleya. It's a beautiful bracha.
This is
Pasuk Yud Aleph. This is one of the sources for the bracha that we give our daughters on Friday night. I mean, the bracha you give to the son is in Parshas Vayechi. Yisim Chalakim Kefraim V'chem Nasha. And daughters, the minhag is to say Yisim Chalakim Kesarif Kiracha V'Leya. That's not a pasuk anywhere. But at least you have the Rachel and Leah. You see here, this is where Yitan Hashem is a Isha Ba Besacha Kirachel Kaleya. Asher Banu Shteim is Beis Yisrael. That the two of them built the Beis Yisrael, Vasechayim Befrasa, and perform mighty acts of valor, of strength, in Ephras, that was the area of Beis Lachem. Ukrash Shemba Beis Lachem, and you should make a name for yourself Beis Lachem. The mom is Akasha, why are they blessing Ruth to be like Rachel Leah? There's two things about Rachel and Leah that Ruth shares in common with them. Number one, both of them came from a Sherish Zar, from a root of strange origins. Rachel and Leah's father was Lavan. Their grandfather was Besuel. And Ruth's father was Eglon. Eglon Melachmayev.
Who's?
Ruth's father was Eglon, or if it was her ancestor. It's not clear whether it was her father. She's called Ruth Bas Eglon, but it could be it was an ancestor. I don't know. But her cherish was Zar. It was strange. And Rachel Leah's cherish was Zar. It was strange. And Rachel and Leah together, they had 8 children. And each and every one of them was a tzaddik. That's something they share in common with Rus. That's the Malbim.
So second thing, what did Rus have? She didn't have 8 children.
Her child was Oved. Oved was a tzaddik. And they're giving her, you know, David, they're giving her a bracha that even though she comes from a strange root, a strange origin, but there's other women in Klal Yisrael that came from a strange origin. Their children were all tzaddikim. So your children should all be tzaddikim. I mean, what she had is a second. That second, you know, that's something that has yet to happen. Rachel and Leah. The Alshich says, "Asei chayel be'efrasa," that you should perform mighty acts of valor in Ephras. Krashem be Beis Lachem and make a name for yourself in Beis Lachem. Why are these two names mentioned here? If Ephras and Beis Lachem are generally in the same proximity of each other, or one is the region and one is the city, why are they mentioned here in the Bracha? And the Alshich says there's a remez in the names of the places.
What was the name of the other place before Mariax and Ephras and then what?
Ephras and Beis Lachem. He said Ephras, the sherish of the name of the place, Ephras, is Piria Verivia. Being fruitful. So they were giving a bracha for, you know, for Puruvu. Beis Lachem literally means house of bread. So they're giving a bracha that her house should sustain the multitudes. So these are both brachas, they're blessing her with expansion. When you bless someone with puruvu, so you're blessing them that they personally should expand. Their being, their essence should expand, because when you have children and they grow and then you have many children with multitudes of children, that's personal expansion, personal growth. And Beis Lachem is that everything in their house, any of their possessions, their surroundings, their environment should grow and expand to provide nourishment and sustenance to multitudes.
Isn't it appropriate she's marrying to Yehuda? Yehuda's sustenance. Well,
why is Yehuda's sustenance? The pasuk ends off with the crush shame of Beis Lachem. You should make a name for yourself in Beis Lachem. The Alshich says that she's going to have her name changed.
Ruth?
Yes. This is interesting. She's going to have her name changed. There's a mafarshim that say that her original name was not Rus. If you say that she converted before she married Machlein, then she must have had a different name before she married Machlein.
Mm-hmm.
The Alshich said she's going to change her name now. You want to know what he says? You want to hear what he says? She's going to change her name from Rus HaMeaviyah to Rus. She's going to drop the Meaviyah. That's what the pasuk means. She's going to drop the Mavi. And you look in the Psukim, she's never again mentioned as Rusa Mavia after this Pasuk. So that bears it out.
Chilling.
So what does this tell us? The Mepharshim that say that she changed her name before she married Machlai.
In which case she was...
Now she's changing her name again. We have ample proof that she converted before she married Machlai. We have equally ample proof that she didn't convert before she married Machlai. Right? Say it? I'm going to go through all the rayas.
Now?
No. What emerges clear, I think that the picture emerges clear finally after learning through the entire Sefer. The technical halakha conversion she went through, she underwent a conversion before she got married to a Jewish person. She did. I mean, Bayez called that a chesed. Bayez said, a tremendous chesed that you did, that you chose to marry a Jewish person. He praised her for marrying a Jewish person. You don't praise a Gentile for marrying a Jewish person. She underwent a conversion. But this conversion, the rite of conversion, the halachic conversion, there's Kabbalah's mitzvahs, there's tefillah. She did that. But there's something called Taivol M'sharetz B'yadai. A guy could go into a mikveh, and he's holding a dead bug when he's going into the mikveh. And the mikveh totally encases him. He's in the mikveh. There's nothing else. It's in contact with every single part of him. But he's holding on to something. And the tower of the mikveh can't work on him. Ruth went to the mikveh. She was mekabel mitzvahs. But there's two parts of geirus. One is accepting Kabbalah's mitzvahs, becoming a part of Klal Yisrael, embracing Klal Yisrael, and then just letting go of everything that he had before. You know, Gershon is Gaia, Kakat and Shanela Dami. She fulfilled all the technical aspects, all the requirements of geirus. There's no shaila about it. But when we talk about Rus, we have to talk about Rus on a much higher level. To what extent was her soul completely severed from the strange roots that it grew from? We find time and time again she's referred to as Rusa Me'avia, Rusa Me'avia. We have the lad that he saw in Rusa Me'avia Moabite tendencies. There were contradictory tendencies in her. She exhibited tendencies of a Bas Yisrael. She also exhibited tendencies of a Me'avia. She, Nami herself, was wavering to send her back, take her with her.
Well, she still should have got to send her back, even if she wasn't.
We learn out the Hilchos Geirus from Nami's dialogue with Rus, even though she'd already converted. You learn out that you're supposed to push away a convert. Because Nami herself had her reservations about Rus's conversion. Nami herself had her doubts about Rus's conversion. And Nami herself wanted to test Rus to see if her conversion was a correct one, was a sincere one, was one where she let go or not.
Well, she
pushed her way three times. You can learn the halakas of conversion even from someone that converted already.
But she still shouldn't be allowed to push her back, or she shouldn't want to go back.
There's no reason to want to bring someone to Eretz Yisrael that's still connected to Mayav. That's called bringing term into Eretz Yisrael.
I know, but I'm saying, but she's still a Jew.
Not necessarily.
Why?
There's something called Hakiyak Seifal Tchilasa. I mean, I'm not saying that this is an exact comparison, but the Rambam talks about people that were Megayer, and there seems to be an aspect of Shalei L'Shem Shemayim, and the Rambam says the halakhic status of such people is you wait and see what's with them in the end. I'm not making the bold assumption that that's what was with Rus, but I'm using that as an example that Nami had the right to test her, because Nami was going to bring Rus back as the spark of Mashiach to Eretz Yisrael, and the spark of Mashiach could not bring Mayav with them. Stakes are very high.
So if she had wasn't there, she might have been there, it wouldn't be good?
Alach Lamaisa, I can't answer the question. I don't know the answer to that question. But she definitely was, it was proper for her to test her. You know, what would have happened if Rus would have gone back halakhically, I can't answer. I don't know. I can't answer because I don't know.
What happened to Orpah?
Orpah was not Jewish.
She thought she was
Megara. Okay, we don't find a chazal that Orpah was ever punished for being a Jewish woman. She's not, you know, her children are not Jews. Her children are not, you know, there's just no mention of chazal that her children have Jewish descent. What, you know, Boaz gave her vinegar. Boaz gave her roasted barley grains because he himself saw that she wasn't finished yet. Boaz refused to marry her on the threshing floor. That's a mayav way of getting married. Even though he knew the Rus was L'shem Shemayim, and it's a mitzvah. But you can't bring mayav into Klal Yisrael. Rus's final step of her conversion, the final step, what did it? Someone that has the slightest trace of mayav in them, the slightest trace, could not marry somebody that's 80 years old and it's his last night on this earth. Someone that has this...
We had
ample evidence that his death is imminent. It says Va'ata twice. Nami says Va'ata and Bayez says Va'ata. He was an old man. People die from old age. And there was an aspect, an element of Ruach HaKodesh here also, which we don't understand to the fullest. Now, she knew that she's only having, you know, that it has to be now. It has to be today. Bayez knew, Nami knew, and certainly Rus knew. How do you bring yourself, a young woman, how do you bring yourself to marry someone that you know is going to die, or it's likely that he's going to die, he won't be able to function as a husband? Do you marry him just for the purpose of having a child, to carry on the memory of your dead husband? How do you do such a thing? Someone from Mayav can't do that. Someone from Mayav do that? Mayav is cruel. Mayav is immodest. Mayav is passionate. Mayav is selfish. The process of her meeting Boaz and marrying Boaz in a proper way, the tzenua way, in a proper way, you know, without any shadows of tuma, without any layers, false trails of tuma, was the Geirus. And that's why it's a Nikah B'Shem. Now, you know, so she had a different name before she got married to Machlon. Her name could have been Agatha. And she married Machlon and she underwent a halacha conversion. Her name was Rus HaMayavia. She's Rus, that's her Jewish name, HaMayavia, but she's schlepping with her the Mayavia kite. And now she's undergoing a new name, and now she's going to be Rus. So all the Ramazim that we saw that indicate that she didn't convert, they're all indications that she didn't convert, but they're on a different level. They're on a level of the soul. They're on a level that you can't see with the eye. They're on a level that she still had a connection. Her neshama has still had a connection. The name of a person is the person. It's not just what we incidentally call them. The name of a person is the person. And if you called her Rus HaMayavia, that means she was Rus HaMayavia. Even after she converted, she was Rus HaMayavia.
You don't know what her name was before conversion?
What?
You don't know what
it was. I don't know what it is.
What type of baggage are you talking about that she kept her from HaMayavia?
Well, one example is what she thought she's going to go and she's going to go and cling to Boaz's young lads. That's a glaring example. And we see what Nami suspected her of, because Nami told her that there's an Isra Yichud and maybe Shabbos. You know,
there was an Isra Yichud.
There's no Yisra Yichud with non-married woman, but there was a Yisra Yichud with married woman. Married woman is a Nisra Daraisa. Unmarried woman who's not a Nida, there was no Yisra Yichud at the time. There's
so
still a Nisra Yichud.
But she's
still telling her that there's Nisra Yichud in Shulchan Aruch. An unmarried woman is allowed to learn the halachas of the Yisra Yichud. She suspected her of Avodah Zarah. She suspected her of not being attracted to Shabbos. She suspected her of still having a vestige, a remnant of immorality. You see, from all the things that she was questioning her about, that she wanted to make sure that Rus wasn't carrying this with her. I mean, the lad of Boaz, he thought that he saw in her Amida that she's constantly trying to hoard things and gather them together. And he saw that. On some level, he saw that. Laziness, you know, there's a list of shortcomings, you know, and these are things which were not really part of Rus. They're just from her, she got from her surroundings, and she got rid of them. The marriage to Boaz was Gerus. It was a 2-in-1, 2 for the price of 1. Okay, Hashem will stop here, and tomorrow, hopefully, Bezus Hashem, will be Messiah.